Let's begin today's chapter and verse broadcast with this comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
God has a lot of power. He's got a great filter called love. And his power to you is filtered through his love. He loves you. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're human. He knows.
And I'll stand up and shout. And I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Today on Chapter and Verse, we proceed in our studies of the Gospel of Mark. The title for our message is, The Common People Heard Him Gladly. From the writer of Hebrews, we read in chapter 4, verse 1, Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Through Christ, we have a promise of entering into his rest through a covenant relationship with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Spiritual rest comes through our faith in God's perfect plan for our lives. We receive rest and freedom from the cares of this world as we draw close to our Redeemer, who guides us toward a perfect and everlasting rest in the glory of His eternal kingdom in heaven. If you're able, grab your Bible and let's follow along as Mike continues our study from Mark chapter 12, here now on Chapter and Verse.
In verse 12 to 17, they want to catch him with his words. In verse 18 to 27, it shifts just a little bit. They want to know, what do we give Caesar? And he says, render unto Caesar the things that are God's. Render unto God those things, and Caesar the worldly things. If you have to pay taxes, pay taxes. But on the same hand, he says, if you have something for God, you need to remember. So some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind, and this is from Moses, and he leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers. So you got the seven brides for seven brothers here. The first took a wife, and dying, he left no children, no offspring. And the second brother took her, and he died, nor did he have any children, any offspring. The third did likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, now here's something really good when you learn when people are tricking you, or somebody called up Sandy and said, you better talk to Sandy. I said, there's a lawsuit from the IRS and they want to talk to you. I said, IRS doesn't make home calls. Click. So she said, would you give me your name and number? He said, no. And then he clicked before I told her, just hang it up. These are who they want people to recognize, Sadducees. They're Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection. But when Jesus comes up to them, they're Sadducees. They don't believe in the resurrection. And their question is, okay, seven brothers marry her. They all die. They have no kids. Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Well, they don't even believe in the resurrection. So why would he even waste his time answering them? But he's so wise, his words carry on for over 2,000 years, and we're looking at them tonight. They're going to help you and me. You're smart enough to know who's in front of you. Now just open yours and say, this guy's lying to me, isn't he? Yeah. The Lord opens your eyes and your ears, and you realize, well, that's not a very wise thing to get involved in there. Wow. I talked to a doctor at that hospital, a psychiatrist, a young guy, actually. Well, compared to me, he's young. I said, how in the world did you ever become a psychiatrist? First of all, let's do the education thing. I've done graduate work, but you're way beyond yourself. 4 years of college, 4 years of med school. I had residency and clinical work for 6 years total. Got the psychiatric thing and just kept studying. So I guess about 17 years of, really? All right, my next question. What made you become a psychiatrist? When I was a boy, about 8 years old, I was always interested in how people make decisions. You're 8 years old and you're interested in how people make. So I've always loved it since I was a boy. And I said, really? So you get into high school? And I'm still wondering, how did she make that decision? How did he make that decision? Then as you went into college, you realize people get in such messes because they're making bad decisions. But what is the process? And that's how he became a psychiatrist. And he gives the glory to Jesus because he knew when he was a boy, he was going to Sunday school, he was learning the Bible, and he wanted to help Jesus help people make the right decisions. Isn't that cool? We all have that. We all have something that Jesus has given us. And it's yours rightfully from the cross. He paid the price. You and I should be able to know the right decisions, the wrong decisions, the right people, the wrong people. Well, we're not perfect, so we're going to make mistakes. But nevertheless, the big mistake is don't ever walk away from God. Don't ever walk away from the Word of God. Don't ever walk away from the Holy Spirit. Don't ever walk away from the Lord Jesus. If you have nothing else and you have the Lord Jesus, you've got all of eternity to enjoy. Yeah. So don't walk away. Stick with him. And we give these seven brothers, they say, therefore in the resurrection, when they rise, so they're saying they now believe in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. I've always said this, I've said it before here too. My question would be, not whose wife would she be, my question would be, what is this woman feeding these guys? What kind of a cook is she? Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken? Look at him, how he chose these words. Are you not therefore mistaken? They don't believe in it anyhow. Because, and here's why they're mistaken, you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Isn't that interesting? The first group that come at him says, you've never read this scripture? Now they come at him with politicians and religious leaders, and he says, I think you're a little mistaken here, even in your question here. You don't know the scriptures. You're making up stories. Nor do you know the power of God. The power of God is not always some big volcano erupting. Yesterday, I was out with the cops, and I was riding with a friend that's a supervisor, and he's a K-9 and SWAT officer. So we were out cruising and listening to the radio, and after about 2 hours, we pulled into a mini-mart gas station to let the dog go over to the bushes. So he has the dog. Now, you got to picture this dog. I told him, I want this dog. He's pure black. He's shepherd. Most beautiful black fur, shiny, big pointed ears. Just, you look at him, you go, whoa, whoa. Now, he had a Belgian Malinois, if you don't know what that is. They're very hyper. There's one on TV that's every week on a show called Person of Interest with James Caviezel. They're brown and black like a German shepherd, but they look skinnier. But those dogs, they like the action. They want to be there. But the shepherd is a little bit different in temperament, easygoing. And instead of just running into the backyard to get the guy with the gun, the shepherd will go up and look around the corner a little bit and smell and sniff, and then he will go. Two different temperaments. So I was just getting to know this dog. And when he was through the bushes, I'm standing there, and I've got my semi-uniform on. And so he recognizes I'm one of the good guys. I've been in the front seat for a couple hours of his life. He knows what I smell like. He knows that his master likes me and that we're friends. He's got all that down. So I'm just standing there, and I'm watching the people pump gas. And here's this huge black German shepherd with these big ears up there. And you can just see they're a little reluctant to be anywhere near the dog. And I turn around and look, and the dog runs and jumps up on me and puts his paws on me. And I think, oh. And he lays his face down on my chest. He starts licking my hand. And then I start scratching his ears, and then he's rubbing his head back at me. He's just telling me, I love you. I'm a friend. And I thought, this thing has so much power. And if he unleashed that power instead of licking me right now, I'd probably not be here tonight. God has a lot of power. He's got a great filter called love. And His power to you is filtered through His love. He loves you. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're human. He knows. I imagine as a dad, I wonder sometime about all of our children. Why'd they make that decision? All they had to do is ask. I would have been more than happy to help. But they're trying to grow up. They're trying to make their decisions. God, these people, we are told, they didn't know His scripture nor His power. If there's one thing that Chuck Smith taught us all was, if you have the scripture, you have God's power. And I've been in situations from the Vatican to war zones inside jungles and negotiating for prisoners and Paris, and just sit there and you just listen to the Holy Spirit. I was in a broom closet one time. A man from Lebanon filled the door. He was so big. I mean, this guy was big. If I would have given him $1 million, he would help get somebody else out. And it was known that I wasn't going to come out of that little room with my friend. And this guy could have, with his hands, he was so big, killed us both. And I just got a word of wisdom. I was concerned because I was sitting there in the chair listening to him, and I knew that he was a killer. Nothing to do about that. And I'm sitting there, and my friend's really nervous, I can tell. And I thought, why would the Lord have us here? Lord, what's going on here? And then He said this thing, if you give me $1 million, I'll let you go and I'll let somebody else come out of the Middle East. And this word of wisdom came, said, just ask Him one question. That's all I heard. What is that one question? And I just opened my mouth and the question came out. I didn't even think of it. And I simply said, does Mr. So-and-so know that you're here with me in a broom closet, and, well, you're not really threatening, but you want a lot of money? He didn't know I knew Mr. So-and-so from the Middle East. And his face went white, and he said, I had nothing to say about this. I was only joking. Forget this conversation ever came up. Stood up. He got out of the doorway. We walked like we were in charge of everything to the car, and we drove 100 miles an hour to get out of there. It's just, the wisdom and the power of God is overwhelming. And you just never know when something's going to happen that you could be the key that goes into that rusty lock and opens a door for somebody to help their life. It's pretty lonely being lonely, but we're in charge of lonely. We make our choices. And you're never lonely with God because His Holy Spirit is with us. Television can make us lonely because it's so empty. Sports can make us feel lonely and a little distant from God because our team lost today. On and on and on. But if you know His scriptures, you'll know His power, and His power is filtered through His love to your heart. He loves you. His whole agenda is giving you everything that He created. It'll take eternity, which will never end, for you to let Him expose you to the faith unto faith, or the different universes, or the layers and tiers of time and space and things we don't even know, that you can see the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of God's love. Never has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Not a Sunday school easel with felt on it and little Jesus people walking around for the kids. It's way beyond anything you and I can ever imagine. And if New Jerusalem is going to have perfectly pure, transparent gold to cover the streets, the least of anything we know here on earth, I think He's sending us a message that He is the King. He owns the vineyard. He only leased it and gave an opportunity for somebody to manage it, and they mismanaged it, and they're going to pay the price, and He's going to turn everything He has over to whom He chooses. He's fantastic. And for the Lord Jesus to get out of the boat and stop the storm and to walk up on the water, all those things he did. The 12-year-old girl, Talitha, Talitha, Kumai, rise up. That is, young girl, rise up. 12 years old, laying there. She's dead. But on the way, a lady who's been bleeding for 12 years, the same year this girl was born, she touches the hem of his garment and he says, hey, your faith has made you whole. Woman caught in the very act of adultery, which is perversion, that the leaders of that group, the men were watching and probably put the guy in there, caught her in the very act, didn't hear about it. They were perverts. Hey, Moses says, stone her, what do you say? You think he didn't understand that she was set up? We do not know what he knelt down and he wrote in the dirt with his fingers. We have no idea. That's one of the questions I have for heaven. I wouldn't doubt it, though, if he put Abe, Louis, Fred, all the men's names down there and the dates that they were with that woman. We don't know what he wrote, but whatever it was, from the youngest man to the oldest, they all left. All these things that Jesus did, all out of love, to help somebody out of a tough spot, dying, bleeding, being stoned. And isn't it something that he said, woman? And people try to say that Christianity is a non-woman's religion. That's not true. Woman. She had been called everything since she was a prostitute, but never woman. Jesus gave her integrity. Woman. Didn't call her whore, didn't call her prostitute, tart, on anything, you know. Woman. Where? And he's down on the ground, writing. He looks up at her. She's in the position of authority and power. He's honoring the sinner. Where are your accusers? And she says, Lord, Lord. Does that mean she is a backslidden woman? Lord, I always lean to, no. She knew who he was because no man had ever spoken that nicely to her or ever treated her like a woman. Lord, I have no accusers. And I could see the big smile on Jesus' face. Neither do I accuse you. Go forth. Sin no more. You know, our way of being raised up is she's got to do something. She's got to do penance. She's got to pay some money. She's got to do something. Go to work for the church or whatever. Go forth and sin no more. I'm not accusing you. He died for her. He's God, Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending. He saw her heart. Lord, his heart went to her. I'll pay the price. I do not accuse you. So it's time for us to go. I'd just like to thank you all for being here. And just take some time this week with people and Jesus together and watch how it happens. In human trafficking, it's very, very known that one of the places that young girls are kidnapped are in malls. And the guys will be there and they look for not too cute, not too pretty, not too skinny, not too overweight, just common so they aren't missed. And after seeing how the girls come in after school, they watch who they hang out with. And then they wait, and it happens within a week or more once they've started their viewing. And those human traffickers sit there, and they see one of the girls by themselves. It's past school. Mom and dad probably aren't at home. He watches that happen over a two-week period, and there she is again by herself. And he bumps into, oh, excuse me. Said, hi, hey, I'm... And they get talking. And then all of a sudden he buys her a Coke or something. Hey, I'm by here all the time. Are you here tomorrow? I'll see you. Buy you lunch or something. Yeah, my mom and dad work late. She says too much to a stranger. And then she starts to like him. He's cute. He's almost her age, maybe 2 years older or three. And then he buys her something with his credit card. You'd look good in this bracelet. You'd look good in this tank top. You'd look good. And then 30 days go by, and you know what? I'm in big trouble. That was my credit card, all the stuff I gave you. Now she's in love with this pimp and doesn't know who he is. And says, I'll do anything. He said, well, I couldn't ask. I'll do anything. Do you think you would, my friend whose credit card, I'd do that for you. I love you. And she goes home one time with him, and the heroin goes into the arm, and she's out. She's hooked. Nobody sees her again. She's moved in the Underground Railroad from Orange County over to Biloxi, Mississippi, up to Rhode Island. She's on a milk carton, or this girl's missing. How much better if you and I sit in the malls and we pray for all the teenagers that are walking by that are so vulnerable? How about you and I watch who's coming and going in our street, and if we see something wrong, we call 911. How about you and I taking a moment to go into some of these homes where our parents are with Alzheimer's and just loving some people? I remember one time the Marine band came to where my mother was, and I was so proud of the Marines, and they're there, and my mom was just smiling ear to ear. She loved music. But here are the Marines in their bright blue uniforms and their brass instruments and their trumpets and their drums. How about 5 minutes with somebody that's really hurting that could just take you saying, here's a cup of cold water. This is in the name of Jesus. Hey, come here. I know that you can't afford this. This is for your family. Buy them whatever they want for dinner tonight and walk out and never talk to them again. There's so many things you can do in the name of Jesus because you know the scriptures and the power of God, which is his love. And love covers a multitude of sin. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? Father God, we're so grateful to you. We are so grateful to you. All these people trying to trap you, trick you, twist words, make you look bad, and yet you come right out and say, my Father is not your Father. Lord, that you're so strong and bold for us. You let us see how courageous we can be, how bold we can be in your name. And forgive us that we forget sometimes that the devil is real and that he's got a huge agenda way beyond our capacity to think. And yet you said the saints overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and that they love not their lives unto death. So, Lord, use us to be free of ourselves so we can help the people that are lost and don't know any better. They don't know the scriptures and they don't know your power. So, Father, wake us up. Open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and let your scripture just flow through us to other people. Let us spend more time with you than we do with the television or with our music collection or with our books or with our card-playing friends or our bowling team or whatever. Lord, give us wisdom to use our time for you. So tonight as we leave, we'll spend some time worshiping right now. And if you feel you need to go, that's fine. But if you'd like to stay, you want to be prayed for, we'll be happy to pray for you. Love to have the Holy Spirit baptize some of you that have never been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let his gifts flow through you. Let his power and his love just change your outlook on everything. May a hunger and a thirst come to each of us for his scripture and his power. Not for our use, but to be used for others.
Salvation produces a changed life. If you have truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, when he calls, you'll hear his voice and obey and follow him. And you won't have to worry about making a mistake or moving in the wrong direction. Our true nature is to try to direct God's plan for our lives. The sanctified man understands that it's impossible to serve our Lord by following our instincts, devising schemes, or succumbing to our own feelings. If we allow God to direct the changes in our life, we'll be headed down the right road. When the Spirit says, "Come follow me," listen, open your heart, and follow Jesus. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacIntosh.com. That's MikeMacIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacIntosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Next time, as we continue our series in Mark, we'll see that all you need is love. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.